Since we're here and since just about every single listener on this program is a dentist, let's kind of get back into dentistry and focus on that, because I know you've got, over your many years of practicing and working with the Root Camp and lecturing and doing all kind of things and now consulting, you've kind of accumulated a lot of really great tips that dentists can pretty much use in their practices to be more profitable, have more fun, make more money, et cetera. So why don't we kind of get right into that? And how do you want to start? I know you there's a whole list here. Why don't we just start about things that you've learned while you've been working with thousands of general dentists over the years?
Absolutely. One thing I had, I was very fortunate that I had an opportunity to study the habits of general dentists that were coming into our seminars. What I would do was I would take a survey before dentists got to the seminar, and I would ask them questions about the type of endodontics they were doing, the frequency of the endo, the number of cases they did, how long it was taking them to do all the cases, and what their fees were. So I was studying their habits and their profitability, and on hundreds of the students, I had the opportunity to follow them after they left Root Camp, follow up with them on a year or more later when they had been using the techniques that they learned. And then I got a chance to compare their progress as far as their profitability doing endo using the new techniques that they learned as opposed to what their numbers were prior to going to the seminar. So I also learned a lot about some of the problems that they were having and facing in their office in the area of endo. So I'd like to share some of that information with your listeners today.
Please do anything you've got. Let's just talk, because I'm sure our listeners definitely want to hear about this stuff, Mike.
Great. Well, let's start out by talking about ways to make more profit in your office, because I know everybody's interested in that. And there's one obvious thing that dentists can do is to look at the procedures that they're referring out to the specialist, the procedures that they're not doing that they could be doing but are sending out to the specialties. So that's one thing you need to do. And then the next thing you need to do is look at procedures you're doing in your office that are the most profitable procedures you do, and then find out how you can do more of those or even do those better. So the place to start, in my mind, I like to look at the list of the percentage overheads of the different specialties in dentistry. And let me just share with you what typically we find if you look at those lists. And I realize there are lots of different lists out there, but all of them you're going to find that GPs are number one at something. We have the highest overhead of all the dental specialties. Typically, GP overhead is hovering around 63%, 63 to 64% is what the overhead is. Now, when you go down the list and you look at the specialty in dentistry that has the absolute lowest overhead, on almost every survey you're going to find it's endodontics. And typically, endodontic offices have an overhead hovering somewhere around 40%. Sometimes you'll read a survey, it'll be slightly under. Sometimes it'll be up to 41 or 42%. But needless to say, the overhead and the profitability in an endodontic office is quite a bit higher than in a GP office, difference between about 40% and 60%. So if you're going to look at procedures to do more of, why not look at procedures that have the highest profitability of any of them? And that would be endodontics. In fact, we once had a student, when we went around the room one day, this was a Root Camp that we had in December, close to the holidays, about 2 weeks before. And we had a student who we had asked the question to the group, why they came to Root Camp, why they would give up a weekend and a Friday out of their practice, spend all the money on the tuition to come to a seminar to learn how to do endo. And this young female dentist gets up, and always in a slightly anger, upset voice, she says, you know why I'm here? I'm here because I'm getting tired of receiving a $50,000 gift basket each year from my endodontist. Obviously, she had just gotten that $50,000 gift basket before she got to the seminar. What she was implying was that she felt she was referring out the door at least $50,000 worth of endo procedures that she could be doing in her office, and she was probably right. So I think looking at the procedures that are going out, looking at the potential for doing very profitable procedures in your office, I think making a decision to take an endo course is an excellent decision. And if you want to evaluate how an endo course can improve your profitability, I think you need to look in three different areas. One would be the increase in the number of root canals that you're doing. So obviously, the more of these profitable procedures that you do, the more overall profitability you'll have. The second way for to get an increase in your profitability is obviously to raise your fees, and we're going to hit on fees a little bit too. And then the third part of the equation has to do with the efficiency, how much more efficient you are at actually doing the procedures. So the place to start would be if we want to talk about fees, one interesting statistic that I tracked over the years was the following. We would look at the fees that the root campers coming into the seminars were typically charging for an anterior, a bicuspid, and a molar. And what we found, we compared that to the fees that endodontists were charging. Every year, I would update local endodontists in the Atlanta area, and I would average what their fees were. And almost across the board, the root campers were charging 77% of what the Atlanta endodontist fees were. So one thing I'm going to recommend that may be helpful as we go on is that your listeners actually get a sheet of paper and write down. One thing they can write down is anterior, bicuspid, and molars. And if they're currently doing root canals, they should write down what their fee is. And then at some point, I think it would be helpful if they called the endodontist that they refer endo cases to. If there's more than one, they can call and get the fees and then average them together. But write down the endodontic fees, and we're going to look at those.
So maybe it would be helpful now if for our listeners to, if you could pause this recording, and at the very least write down, as Dr. Goldstein just said, what you're charging in your office for an anterior endo, for a bicuspid endo, and for a molar endo. And would you, so how would you, Mike, what's the best way they should find out? Just call a local endodontist and ask those three fees also?
Well, most listeners are probably referring some cases to an endodontist, but even if you aren't, you can call or have your front desk person call, just identify themselves as working in your office, and very politely ask if they could get an update on the fees that are being charged in the office. I don't even have an active practice in Griffin currently, and I'm calling all these offices. I'm identifying myself, Dr. Goldstein from Griffin, and I'm quoted fees immediately over the phone without a problem. So it shouldn't be too difficult to get those fees.
Okay, so why don't we all write down our anterior, premolar, and molar fees, and then call a local endodontist and get those three fees. And once you have all those fees on a piece of paper, why don't you go ahead and resume and listen to what Dr. Goldstein has to say that you should do with those fees. So